And we're back with part two of our interview with Joseph Crawford. It's quite hard not to notice Daryl, and indeed yourself, because he is a natural-born orator with a great tone to his voice, able to project his voice expertly and command a lot of attention when he speaks. Do you personally possess a background in theater, or did you engage in any vocal training? Have you ever considered becoming a voiceover artist?
Oh, wow, that's so nice to hear, and it's actually such a great time for me to be asked that question because I'm at this juncture of life where there's some other career and hobby options that I wanted to explore, and actually, funnily enough, voiceover work and podcasting perhaps is something that I want to get into. Whether it will be in the form of a hobby or whether it will be a sort of a branch of my professional career remains to be seen. When I was young, I was absolutely passionate and addicted to sort of playing around with my voice, taking on different character affectations, accents, different cartoony voices, and trying to make different sounds with my voice was just something that I did in my spare time. You know, this is what I love to do. And it was a big part of acting for me, is just using my voice and getting different sounds out there. And when I think about it in retrospect, it might be even something more suited to me than, you know, traditional acting. I have always loved the performing arts and film and stage from a very early age. They had such a massive impression on me. So I wanted to replicate the experience of wonder I had when watching a film or something on stage. So as a kid, as well as doing all these vocal characters, I was constantly trying to recreate plays in the living room, trying to involve my poor little brother in them, who was sort of like happy to be a pawn in whatever I was creating at the time, or maybe he wasn't happy about it, but he learned to be passionate about it, I guess, just from hanging around with me and having to grow up with my craziness. But another huge part of it is I wanted to recreate the experience of doing something creative that could be played back, that was, that wasn't live, but that once you'd finished it was kind of a work of art into itself. This is like my early inclination towards filmmaking. And of course, we didn't have cameras or a means for me to record things visually when I was really young. So the first thing I could do to create that sort of experience was do things like make audio plays using the tape deck or recreate storybooks. So I would do things like, either invent my own stories or I'd recreate the Calvin and Hobbes comics on tape with a friend, or sometimes just on my own. And I think I started into doing the whole Tintin series, but didn't get through them all, of course. And this would be using sort of sound effects I would make at home, maybe with, spoons and a pan to make a sort of a glass crashing sound. Or I would start to collect libraries of sound effects and music and, would just dub them tape to tape over with the microphone plugged in. Very old-fashioned way of making homemade radio plays. So I'm so excited about the chance to really develop something that was a very, very early passion for me and a key part of who I am. In terms of training, I did a lot of theater in school, and we used to do lots of vocal exercises. I was a singer as a young child and often did sort of solo or choir performances over the various years of school. I did a whole bunch of theater courses and a couple of acting for screen courses, both here and in Canada. I did a short course also in Toronto at the National Institute of Broadcast just for aspiring voiceover artists early in my career.
It's such a shame that we only get to see Daryl in the final series of the show, as it felt that there was a heck of a lot of development potential available for the character. Is there anything that you wished you could have done with Daryl? Any story arcs that you would have liked to tackled? And were you aware of any future storylines for the character if Series 6 had indeed gone ahead?
Yeah, Daryl is definitely a fascinating character that could sort of be explored and studied probably psychologically, and kind of have his own book. You know, I'm certainly he's the kind of character who would have loved to see something centered around him, and would have loved to be remembered as a protagonist. But the way he was, the character as he was in the series was a guest character, was a sideline character, was, you know, somewhat comic relief or somewhat and somewhat just an intriguing character on the side. It is a shame, but I realize also that by the end of the series, Daryl as a character had fulfilled the function that, you know, he'd fulfilled his role in the series. He wasn't so relevant to the core story of what was happening with the rest of the characters, unless he sort of became really involved in the main family of characters of the show. He had really sort of fulfilled everything he could have contributed to the Mallrats storyline. During the latter part of the series, I also had the chance to work as a script editor at Cloud9. So I actually had the privilege of seeing ahead to some degree as to what was going to happen to all the characters, and was often sort of being pressured by the other actors. Oh, what's happening next, Joe? What's happening next? And of course, I was trying to be professional and had to tell them, I can't tell you anything. So I was probably one of the first to know that, you know, we were all going to escape on this little boat and make it away from the city and start a new life somewhere else. And I actually, the first time I heard about the boat concept, I wasn't even sure if Daryl was going to make it onto the boat. So when I read that final episode 52, I think, was the final episode, and saw Daryl was on the boat, you know, albeit with very few lines, but at least he got away and could have lived a whole other life, and probably would have, Daryl himself would have wanted a whole other series of books focused on him. But of course, that's just not what the series is about. The series is focused on the Mallrats, and I was aware that Daryl, as interesting a character as he was, he had sort of fulfilled his part in the main sort of storyline arc of Series 5. So it was lovely to be included in the cast, but I had no idea where they were going to take the character. This whole idea of him being a demon dog and sort of embracing that part of him as he went forward with the Mallrats was a really interesting, very different, shocking take. To take on the character who had previously sort of been very much not like what you'd imagine the rest of the Demon Dog gang to be like. So for him to suddenly embrace this new look meant I was starting to think, well, what is this character going through? The whole transition to Daryl's Demon Dog look happened very fast. I was told by the producer that they wanted to embrace a new look for the character, and the costume people suddenly had a whole new thing for me to get ready. I went and had my ear pierced for the new look of the character. I had my hair dyed, and yet there was nothing overtly in the script that references Daryl's new look. So Daryl just sort of turns up looking totally different one day. And I remember that first scene thinking, you know, I guess, you know, we're just going to have to play it that there's a scene that's happened that the audience hasn't seen where everyone suddenly reacts to Daryl's new look, because it certainly wasn't in the script. So another example of how abrupt and fast the whole production of this show could be. But, it, you know, I guess the upside of that is you never know what you're going to get as an audience with this world. And I was kind of honored that they wanted to take Daryl, to give Daryl a sort of a new lease of life as a character and give me a chance to explore a whole other side of him. It boded well for the future, and I thought that Daryl had a long way to go to really come into his own. He had so many different fragments of his past, so many different layers he could have uncovered. But at the same time, I was aware the story wasn't about him. It was about the central Mallrats characters, and Daryl's a bit of a sideshow. So, you know, I would have liked to see Daryl find true love, because for all his, you know, cheesiness with the ladies, I knew that once Daryl found his true love, that he was the kind of guy that would be true to him. I could see those aspects of him in me. And I could see that what Daryl really needed to, in order to grow up, and, you know, put his sort of, foolish preconceived notions of women aside, was to have a real woman sort of in his life, loving him for who he was. I think that would have really taken Daryl to the next level. But you have to fit in with the rest of the story.
The story of the tribe has continued beyond Series 5 in the form of a series of novels, which also sees some more development for Daryl. Are you aware of the existence of the novels, and have you had a chance to read them at all? What do you think of the books?
I knew that there were tribe books when I first came onto the series. I remember that one of the first times I walked into Cloud9's headquarters in the hut, they have a lobby full of props and memorabilia and and all sorts of tribe merchandise, and I thought, wow, this show has got quite the cult following, especially for quite a low budget show. And I was blown away, and I thought, oh, I got to really read those books someday, which I never have, and I apologize. I have, however, read some interesting fan fiction out there on the internet, and of course, seen some videos and some great, great creative enthusiasm amongst the fans. So, I mean, this is the kind of fan base that the tribe has. It's the very best fan base you want, really, because when Cloud9 stopped producing this stuff, everyone's doing their best to sort of fill in the blanks and imagine new storylines. As for the, I've never got round to or had the chance to read any of the books written about the time after Series 5. So I knew they were out there, and I knew Daryl was probably in them. And I heard mention of this and that. And I'd certainly be curious to hear more about it. But no, I haven't read the books.
We also ask this because, unfortunately, Daryl is killed in the second book, A New Dawn, in a fight against the Zoodists, alongside Jay and Jal. What's your immediate reaction on hearing of the character's death, if you hadn't already? And if you could have given Daryl any exit, happy or sad, what would that have been?
Yes, I did hear of Daryl's demise. And it was, I can't remember how I heard it. It was over the internet. It was some, I think it was a YouTube comment. That's how I found out about poor old Daryl. I'd like to, there was that initial, like, oh my God, well, there goes Daryl. I wasn't overly shocked because as I mentioned before, there was a lot you could, there were a lot of layers to Daryl, but there wasn't a lot more he could do to serve the main characters of the story. So I wasn't surprised that they killed him off. But Daryl, for all his fears and cowardliness, he would have wanted to go out with a bang. He was a showman at heart. And I think once he got to the point where there was something worth fighting for, he would have wanted to go out meaning something. And in fact, when it really comes down to it, Daryl would have wanted to be a hero, to die a hero in the story. So I'm not sure, I haven't read exactly what happened, but hopefully Daryl went out in some kind of heroic fashion, because what Daryl really wanted was to matter and to mean something. And that was his way of connecting with people. If he was clumsy with connecting with people in the here and now, he could at least make up for it by having a legacy. So, I hope that's what happened. I should really hunt down that passage and read it sometime. Maybe you could forward it to me. That would be great.